But here, but I'm, well, I can't say how overjoyed I am to have this man back on the show again, because he is the legend, and I suppose everybody calls him Le God, and that's exactly what he is, and because he's the best English player ever in this country. Hello to Matt Letizia.
That's a slight exaggeration, but thanks very much.
I think Tony Gale would say exactly the same. He's been on earlier on, and Tony said the same. I think he said he would have paid to see you play. He said he would rather have. He said he'd give up every single medal. He said if any player should give up every single medal that they ever won just to be Matt Letizia. So there you go.
That's very kind, mate. I'm really sorry. I can barely hear you talking.
I was saying that Tony was on earlier on, and Tony said that every player or most players should give up whatever medals they've got just to come back to be Matt Letizia.
That's very kind of him. He's a top bloke, his Tone, and I'm sure that he meant very well, but I'm sure it was a bit tongue in cheek as well.
One of the things we were speaking to Tony about as well was the program that of course you're very much part of on Soccer Saturday, and we were saying it would be really great if maybe that we got to a situation that when it got to non-league day that the actual panel then actually were watching games and commentating on games from, say, like the Conference and the Ryman League on the TV for that 1 week only.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I mean, we were watching League Two football a couple of weeks ago, so it's only one step away from that. So I don't see that that's completely out of the question.
I was speaking, a couple of weeks ago to Tony Vance and speaking to him around Ross, and because you know he's been out injured for a period of time, and it was great to see that he was back in the squad again for Boxing Day.
Sorry, mate, I lost you again. Apologise.
That's all right. I was saying it was just interesting to see that we were talking about Ross, and it's great to see him back from injury.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time out, and obviously he's been sorely missed when you've got a player who scores the amount of goals that boy does. When he's not going to be in and around the squad for a while, you certainly do miss him. So it's great to see him back, and hopefully he'll be playing regularly between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, because I know Tony was saying to me at the time. He said that people were saying, "Oh, what's going on with Guernsey? Because it's not, it's not going very well, and so forth." And he said to me, "But you know, when we've got the ethos that we've got at Guernsey, and you've got 16 players that are out," he said, "it makes a lot of difference." And he said, "I think he said something along the lines of that for 10 months he hadn't played his first choice two centre halves."
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, it is tough, and they had a horrific injury list. And, you know, you talk about clubs at pro level in the Premier League moaning about injuries and stuff and how it affects their squad. So when you do have that many players out at that level, it makes a huge difference. And you can see that in the results. And when the players have started coming back, you've seen the results start to pick up.
And I think we was always laughing and joking, saying whoever's top of the goal scoring charts in the in the Ryman South, beware, because Ross is back and he's ready to take his title back.
I'm sure he might be a little bit behind the eight ball with the amount of games that he's missed, but I'm sure he'll give it a go, and if it's not this season, then he'll give it another good go next year.
Is it one of, I suppose, being a player of, you know, for me, you know, a world-class player like yourself, I mean, was it difficult? Was it something that you would have loved to have done and actually have played for Guernsey on a longer period?
Yeah, obviously, it would have been nice if Guernsey had been formed maybe 10 years earlier. That would have been quite handy, because I'd have still been able to kind of get around the pitch a little bit then, and maybe have made a bit more of a contribution. But it was nice just to get out there just that one time and make that appearance for them. My brother and the guys behind the scenes have put a heck of a lot of hard work into that football club over the years, and it's nice that they had a real good start, and they're now managing to consolidate their position. And for me to actually get on the pitch just the once was a nice moment.
I mean, I know you're not honorary president Danner anymore, but do you still get over to see games when you've got weekends off?
I haven't had a chance this season to see them just yet. I haven't been on the island when they've been playing this season. So obviously, if ever I am, then I will be down the game. But so far, my luck's not been in this season, and I've actually managed to see Southampton a few more times this season than I did last, which I think I almost saw more Guernsey games last season than I did Southampton ones.
And I mean, you know, Southampton are flying. I mean, everybody said, I mean, I saw your sort of question and answer session again on Twitter again tonight, but it's just absolutely flying. Everybody said that they were going to struggle with the amount of players that they sold at the end of last season, but they're just absolutely flying.
Yeah, Ronald's got fantastic organisational skills. You know, the defence is the best in the Football League, I think, not just the Premier League. And I think that's kind of where it's all been built from. We've also got some players who can create things going forward. Alright, the game last night was probably not one of the better ones this season, but it was tricky conditions up at Ipswich, a pretty bumpy pitch, a very windy night, and it wasn't conducive to great passing football, and they had to grind out a result, and that's exactly what they did. So they've proved that they can get results more than one way. You know, we saw the 8-0 against Sunderland earlier on the season, when they played some fantastic, expansive football. And then you see them go to Old Trafford and have a completely different type of game. We're very solid at the back, not allowing any shots on target during the whole game, and nicking a goal on the counter. So it's great that we haven't just got one way that we can play.
Do you think they can stay where they are? That they're going to stay in the Champions League places come the end of the season?
Well, I had my doubts at the start of December when obviously we lost four on the spin and injuries and suspensions were starting to take their toll a little bit. But they've bounced back brilliantly, and it's kind of over halfway in the league now. And you kind of start believing that, well, hang on a minute, we've played everyone at least once. We've played Arsenal and Manchester United twice. So, you know, we've got some decent fixtures coming up, and it's not inconceivable. It's still, in my opinion, it's still probably unlikely, given the teams that are chasing us and the depth of squads that perhaps they've got in the second half of the season, that might take its toll on our boys. But at the moment, you know, they're where they are on merit, and I think a lot of people are starting to believe that actually, you know what, this far into the season, they might just hang on to it, and there'll be no prouder man in Southampton if they do than me.
Go on, Ray.
Yeah, hi, Matt. It's Ray from Harlow Town.
Hi, Ray.
Nice to talk to you. There's a bit, when I was at work today, people have been saying that Barcelona sniffing around the manager. Do you reckon there's any truth in that?
I think we kind of speculate a little bit too early sometimes in this country. It always seems like anybody at a club that's not one of the big four or five in this country are doing well. Everybody looks to offload them to someone that's bigger than them, and you know, Barcelona have still got a manager at the moment, so why all the speculation was going away, I'm not quite sure. You could understand it if the manager had been sacked and there was a position that was vacant, but yeah, it does get a little bit tedious. Everybody in the media trying to get rid of your manager for you and all your best players as well. So, you know, we're in a position now where I think if I was a player at Southampton, or a manager for that matter, with what's happened this season, I don't think I'd want to be going anywhere right now.
No, it's like I watched the game last night.
Ray, could I just ask you to get a bit closer to the microphone, because you seem like you're about 20 yards away from me.
I'm about 200 feet away, I think, actually, Matt. So,
that's better.
I was going to say, Morgan Schneiderlin last night, obviously one of the best players at Southampton at the moment, and I know there was talk of him going to Spurs pre-season and that, and I just wondered whether he was on the verge of going with being... whether he was left out last night or people are saying he was injured. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I believe he picked up a groin injury in training, which was why he was missing. So that was a bit of a blow. And also, obviously, we lost Victor Wanyama, who that partnership has been pretty solid for us in that sitting in front of our back four. So that was a big blow, really. But we've got good players. I mean, we're lucky we've got Jack Cork just coming back from injury, so... He's available to fill in for one of those guys. You know, we've got James Ward-Prowse in there, Stephen Davis. You know, we've still got some fairly decent cover in that area, but certainly missing Morgan and Big Vic is going to be a blow.
Yeah.
I think one of the things for me, I suppose, this year was Christmas time, I suppose, this year. I was it never seems to be Christmas unless you've seen Soccer Saturday Special, but it was a repeat this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, we didn't do a Christmas special this year. The Fantasy Football did one where we debated our greatest ever Premier League 11, the four of us from the show. But yeah, there wasn't a. I'm not quite sure why that didn't happen this year, because we've done some fun ones down the years, and it was a bit of a shame.
I was wondering when you're back with Mr. Merson and trying to keep up your 100% record.
With the coaching with the kids, 2 wins from 2, that was pretty impressive. I thought obviously Mercy's record as a manager was pretty shocking, and I've never done it, so the two of us to pair up and win the two tournaments, I was quite proud about that actually.
Well, when you do, you know, if you do a third one, is a football pitch and no more than a couple of yards from where I'm sitting at Arlo Town, you'd be more than happy to come down and use that for it.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I'll put that suggestion forward to the team when they're looking at next year's Christmas special.
One of the things as well we spoke to Tony about was we're hoping that your brother's going to get to a situation where he's going to speak to you and get you to get a ticket so that you can come along to the Rama League do this year.
Oh, right, okay.
Because we're trying to
let me know the dates and see if I'm around and... Sure, that would be.
We've already tried to convince Tony to come along, and Tony reckons that he might not be going to see a game that day as well. So it was one of those things where we're trying to convince everybody to do. But Nick, the vice chairman's in the studio. He's going to tell you the date.
Saturday, the 13th of June.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, that's a possibility, because obviously it's outside the football season, which helps. And what day of the week is that? Just off the top of your head, do you know?
Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Yep.
Okay.
That's at the Hilton at Wembley.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know the one. Okay, I'll have a look at that and see if we can't make an appearance there. That'd be nice.
Well, we have Bobby Davro as the cabaret.
Excellent. I worked with Bobby about 3 or 4 weeks ago at a do just before Christmas up in London. So I know Bobby quite well.
Very good.
As long as he tells different jokes.
Well, if we can get Martin Tyler as well, then we might even get ourselves a Saturday Soccer Special panel there.
Excellent.
But I mean, from Guernsey itself, I mean, you know, they had a sort of a rough time of it, I suppose, around the time with all the injuries. But I mean, if they get everybody back, do you see them pushing up towards the playoff places?
I think it would take a monumental effort, really, given that probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago, everyone was looking over their shoulder at the other end of the table and thinking, oh, that's getting a bit tight. But it has happened. I've seen teams have brilliant runs second half of the season. So if the boys stay fit and give it a real good go, you know, it's not impossible. It would be highly unlikely, I'd say.
Well, I'm looking at the table now, and they're actually 12 points off the relegation zone and 12 points off of the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
So stuck right in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I said, it's been more of a consolidation this season, given the injuries and everything. So it's still been a huge effort from the boys to pull themselves away from the relegation zone, because I think they were within just a few points of it a few weeks back. So it's been a good effort these last few weeks.
But of course, Rossi's back now, so he'll be banging those goals in, and who knows, he'll be flying up there.
Let's hope so.
But I mean, yourself. I mean, other than sort of Soccer Saturday, what you know, what does you know, the legend do with himself during the week?
This time of year, not a lot, which is nice. So if the weather's not too bad, I get out on the golf course. But obviously, I do a little bit of after dinner speaking on occasions. I've got. Also involved in a soccer school down here, and then just little bits and pieces of charity stuff and spending time with the family. I've got a little girl of 5 who's in year 1 at school, so I love spending time with her And I've got my eldest son who's just living a few miles away as well. So he's 23 now. So I play a little bit of five-a-side football when the fitness allows.
Is it one of those things that, you know, you turn up and people think, oh, well, we might as well go home now?
Well, we play amongst the pretty much the same group of lads every week, so they know what to expect.
I mean, because I know a friend of mine was playing five-a-side not so long ago, and he came into work and he said to me, look, he's playing five-a-side, and they turned around to us and said, look, you know, we're one man short. You've got this young lady that wants to make up the team. Is it okay to make up the team? And of course, they all said, yeah, not a problem. She can come and make up the side. And what they didn't realise at the time, she was the Chelsea player now, as she is in Gemma Davidson. And Gemma came on and I think she scored about 7 or 8 goals that night and left there. And he said, we didn't get anywhere near her. He said, it was just ridiculous. He said, it just flew around all over the place and didn't get anywhere. I mean, yourself, I mean, what is it like working on a panel with somebody like Jeff Sterling?
Because he's a genius. That's the only way I can describe what he does. If everybody realised exactly what was going on in his earpiece and the chaos that was going on behind the scenes and the way he holds the show together despite that is quite remarkable, really. He is an absolute genius at that job, and I feel sorry for the guy who has to take over from him when he eventually hangs up the microphone, which I'm hoping is not going to be for a long time yet.
Yeah, because it's one of those ones when you watch the midweek soccer Saturday stuff, it comes on soccer specials and that, and Jeff's not there. The guy that's there instead is pretty good, but it just hasn't got that same feel to it as when Jeff's sitting in there and giving you stick and giving Mer stick.
Yeah,
and everybody else.
Little bit different as well on a Saturday because obviously we get a lot more time to debate stuff on a Saturday. On a midweek one, we've got like 15 minutes to have a quick chat before the kickoff of the game. So it's difficult to get that interaction and the crack going in such a short space of time. So I think Julian Warren does a very good job on the midweek ones. And I think he's only ever done one six-hour show, and that was just last week, I think, or week before. I think it might have been New Year's Day. He did the six-hour one for the first time ever, and it was a pretty good show. We had some good debates on there. So I think it's a tough one when you're doing the midweek ones to actually get right into a lot of things because you haven't got enough time to debate stuff.
Did you ever get the honour of working with George Best?
I did, yeah. I did. I did a few when I first retired for Sky, when George was still around and Rodney Marsh and Frank McClintock and those guys were on back then. George was an absolute gentleman. A very softly spoken, very, very shy man almost, really. As a player who I didn't really see George play that much, only his kind of back end of his playing days at Fulham, really, with my memory. But seeing him in his pomp on the on the television, the old clips that you see, you just realise what an amazing footballer he was.
And I suppose one of another sort of question too is, do you ever wish that they'd move you away from Merson?
No, I quite like being sat next to him because it's easier to give him stick and to laugh at him when he gets all his predictions wrong. Like I think he had a bet with me that Ricky Lambert wouldn't score more than 5 goals in his first season in the Premier League. That soon went out the window. His latest one this season is that Arsenal will finish 15 points ahead of Southampton. So I'm just biding my time with that one. When it's mathematically impossible, I'll just give him a gentle reminder live on air.
And of course, the other one that must be just a laugh a minute working with is Phil Thompson as well, because it's just, everything he comes out of, I just burst into laughter.
Yeah, Tomo's great value. I know he might possibly come across as a little bit biased towards his football team, but I think we can all be guilty of that on occasions. But I have great fun working with Tomo. He's quite happy to give out a little bit of stick, but just like myself, he can also take it very well. And it's always a good crack. We can have a bit of banter. We can give each other a bit of stick, but we know that once that's done and dusted and the adverts come round, we're all mates again, and off we go.
It just seems like it's just one good laugh when you go in there. It doesn't feel like it, or it seems like it from a viewer's point of view. It doesn't feel like it's you're going in there to work. It's almost a case of, a bit like when I come in to do the radio show, you're sitting around with friends and you're just talking football and it just happens to be a camera there.
Absolutely, that's exactly how it is. Yeah, we're very lucky. I think we're all very conscious of how many people would love to be sat in the chairs that we're sat in, and we do. We don't take it for granted, and we do go in every weekend, and we love what we do, and that's the best bit about it. You know, we've all still got a passion for football, and I think that's what comes across when we're watching the games and we're talking about the incidents. Is that we all have a genuine love of the game still, and I think that's what kind of gives the show its appeal to a lot of the fans. I'll actually give you a bit of an exclusive here, because not a lot of people, in fact, I don't think anybody knows this, because it only happened a couple of hours ago, but I'm not on this Saturday.
Oh, no.
I've been transferred.
Where are we off to?
I've been transferred to the Saturday night football, because Saints are playing up at Newcastle in the tea time kickoff, and I'm going to be in the Saturday night football studio instead of on Soccer Saturday this weekend, so nobody knows that yet.
Oh, there you go. An exclusive, world exclusive.
Yeah, excellent. There you go.
So whoever takes over to your place won't be nowhere near as good, though. That's the problem.
I would.
It might be Tony Gale.
Probably Alan McAnally coming in, sitting in my seat.
There you go. Yeah. That sums it up. Never going to be as good as you.
I mean, You're very kind.
I mean, one of the things we've seen quite a bit sort of FA Cup football, I suppose, just recently with Rama League teams been on the TV, and there's also been other sort of non-league teams at the same sort of level on the TV. One of the things that I've always felt was, when it comes to those sort of commentaries, that we don't have somebody from non-league actually in there as the colour commentator with whoever the commentator is, rather than, say, an ex-professional footballer that's never played at that level, and somebody that would know exactly how it, what goes on at that sort of level.
Yeah,
if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point, actually. I think that would be a very good idea, to be honest with you. It's not an easy job, the commentating and the co-commentating job, so I'm sure there's somebody that would have played at those levels that would be able to sit next to somebody like a Martin Tyler or somebody like that and give a good insight into what it's like playing at that level.
So next year, then, we'll get Mark Letizier sorted out for that, because from what I heard on Twitter, it was he made his debut doing commentary for Guernsey the other week, and everybody was raving about what a great job he did.
Yeah, well, he knows his football. Us Letiziers, we know what we're talking about when it comes to football most of the time.
Listen, Matt, it's been fantastic talking to you again tonight. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you all the best with everything you do. And hopefully, if you are free on the 13th of June, we might see you at Wembley for the Ryman League Awards with your brother.
I'll do my very best. Good to talk to you, boys.
Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was the legend that is Mr. Matt Letizier. Do you think that was a thing that could be brought in? So we've got people, in the non-league game that does sort of commentary and so forth. Like that. They could actually use them, in the colour commentaries, rather than using other people, the likes of Robbie Savage and people like this. They could actually use somebody that not necessarily knows the players, but actually knows the level. Say somebody like a Dan or somebody like that, or anybody that knows that sort of level of football that could be there and actually using their expertise and actually getting the information that was about the teams, actually getting that information correct rather than sort of not getting it correct, like happened quite a few times in a few of the games over that FA Cup weekend.
I think we would love it, but as long as Dan's got his equity card. but you know, those are the practical problems that, all their staff are under contract. So, they're expecting to do FA Cup matches. They've got to pay their staff come what may. So then, we come along and say, yeah, well, why don't we have Dan, he can come in the studio, he can do this, he can do that. And then they've got their contract situation. I would love it. I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I think that our people would also enjoy it. But do we understand how much training and everything else that, that I mean, you know, the Nevilles that, that that have gone on there, how much training have they had? How many hundreds of man hours have they had to train them to actually work in a TV studio? You know, you can't just walk in.
Yeah, it's not natural.
It's not. And, you know, I defy any one of us to just sort of walk into Soccer Saturday this weekend and do the good job that they do. Because we would all be, Jeff, well, yes. you hesitate, you do all those things.
Chris Kamara does that anyway.
Well, yes. He makes a living out of it.
Yeah. But we could bring him into the non-league.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. it's a great idea. But what we would have to do is to convince Sky that it's a good idea, or BT Sport that it's a good idea, and to get them to get somebody interested and to train them up. Because, as I say, it doesn't just happen that you have somebody come along and they go, oh, yeah, we'll have you. You know, the reality, unfortunately, you know, we deal in realities.
Well, I mean, even if they, you know, even if it was somebody like a Martin Tyler, and say like somebody like Caroline Barker, do you know what I mean? Somebody like that was in there, or Dave Anderson, you know, that's, you know, and wish Dave all the very, very best in his future ventures. But, you know, it's, you know, those type of people that are actually, you know, that are used to it as such by going on the non-league show and stuff like that, they could actually step in and, you know, because...
Well, we need an interpreter with Dave Anderson.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, subtitles.
But it's because there was so many things that, especially over some of the games, that they got wrong. I think it was one of the people there when Gosport Barrow were playing, and all of a sudden we saw them playing in the trophy final, but by all accounts they were playing in the FA Vars final, you know, and it was just silly mistakes,
basic research,
you know,
really.
and but that's, yeah. You know, but where somebody like yourself would know that would be the case, or somebody from, you know, this level of football would know that they were in the FA Trophy final, not the FA Vars final, yeah. And what level they're playing at. They're not this level, they're actually that level, and stuff like that was actually happening on those weekends. People at sort of this level would possibly know that, to be able to sit there and, you know, somebody that would do it.
But that is a basic error, isn't it? You know, as Dan says, they just haven't bothered to do their research properly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any excuse for that. And it doesn't need any one of us to sort of go in and correct them for that.
Yeah. You can't always expect it to be 100%, but when you're talking about glaring errors like that, then, you know, it really lets the whole package down, really, doesn't it?
I think it does, and I think that's to do with their pride. You know, that they should actually be getting their people saying, right, you know, I mean, if you follow... what's it for QPR, on Facebook, he says, writing programme notes on such and such for QPR this weekend.
Tony Incenti.
Tony, or he's puts pictures of himself in the box wherever he is for reporting for TalkSport. You know, he does his homework. I mean, he would be an excellent man to actually get involved, because he understands our level of the game.
Yeah.
You know, if you follow him, you know, he goes, oh, I've been to a North Wales local league side, you know, grounds been to 1,935, you know, and things like that. That's what you want. There are still people around. You said, mentioned Martin Tyler, who understands our level of the game. Tony does completely. And that's where I would be saying, right, go to somebody like that and get him in, develop him.
And it's a shame, you know, the likes of somebody like a BT, time's running away, but BT Sport or something like that, didn't get hold of it and say, look, we're going to go and see Nick and say, look, we're going to do an hour's programme every week, and we're going to show you highlights of some of the games. Not necessarily all the games, but we're going to pick certain games this week and then pick certain games this week. And a bit like they do on the on the Football League show, where somebody goes in and goes around the club and shows the club off, and you get sort of like a 10-minute thing on, you know, this week it's Guernsey, next week it's Wingate and Finch, and it might be Harlow, and someone's walking around and talking to them, and then you see a little bit of the game, and then you go back into a studio where, I don't know, maybe yourself's in there or whoever's in there with... you know, whoever's hosting the show, Caroline Barker, Tony Incenso, are just showing off the non-league thing just for an hour. They can put it on at 10 o'clock at night
as well, like have a dog on the pitch or something. Strange things like that, they really encapsulate what non-league football's about to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm afraid time has run away from us, but I'll just say a massive thank you, Dan, for coming in. Nick, massive thank you for coming in tonight. Really, really appreciate it. And thank you, Ray. I hope you get your Saturday off. And we'll keep at it, especially if Matt's going to be there now, Tony's going to be there, and I'll start working on Martin as well, see if we can get him all there,
and I'll get him a solicitor to represent him against divorce.
We're back next week, but just so everybody knows, on the 29th, so in 2 weeks' time, we have we've actually got the guys from Kestrel Sports are going to be in the studio with us, all talking all about their 3G pitches. They are here, of course, at Harlow for the whole day with the 3G seminar that's going to be here as well, but they will be here in the evening as well, so we'll have them. So any questions you've got for them, it's the usual address, ryman@hawksradio.co.uk. Don't forget as well, also as well, if you want to vote for your or nominate your team of the week, make sure you get it in before 10 o'clock on Saturday at harlowtown007@gmail.com. and this time next week we'll find out who has won the Ryman Team of the Week, Week 9, and the nominations will be on my Twitter feed, and they will be on there by Sunday afternoon, at midday Sunday, so we'll find out who they will be at midday Sunday, and you can vote all the way through till 7 o'clock on Thursday evening, and we'll have the result with Stuart here next week at probably about 20 past 7 here on the show next week. But until next week, keep yourself well, and keep yourself safe as well, and make sure you enjoy your football for the rest of the week, and we're going to leave you with a bit of Mr. Saxo beat.